my brothers and sisters in Christ. In our gospel lesson for this first week of Easter, we hear the very familiar account of doubting Thomas. At the very end of the lesson, we hear some more very familiar words, words that we have sung here in worship time and time again. We often sing these words after we hear our verse of the day in worship. Alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia. After we hear the verse of the day, we sing these words to affirm two truths. One, that the man, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God, the promised Savior. And two, that the words of the Bible are written so that we might believe in that Savior. Yet here in our gospel lesson, these words come at a very interesting spot. They come right after the account of doubting Thomas, who would not believe. And I doubt that it is a coincidence. Do we blame Thomas? After all, before Jesus was crucified, he told all of his disciples multiple times that he would be crucified and then 3 days later be resurrected from the dead. But guess what? None of the disciples believed it. Before the woman came running back from the tomb early on Sunday morning to tell them that it was empty, were any of Jesus' disciples waiting in joyous anticipation of his resurrection? Not at all. John tells us himself in verse 9 of this same chapter. He says, they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And why would they? People coming back from the dead are things of fairy tales and legends, right? That kind of stuff doesn't happen in real life. Of course they wanted to see the empty tomb. Of course they wanted to see Jesus before they could understand and believe. And sometimes we might think that it would be nice to have a little bit of that proof for ourselves, a little bit of proof of those things that we believe in. You know, there are stories out there of people dying for a couple of minutes, and then they come back, right? We resuscitate them, and then they tell us all these amazing pictures and images of things that they saw in heaven, right? Proof that heaven is real. Wouldn't it be nice if we could see heaven for ourselves, just a glimpse so that we could know what was waiting for us? Or even better, wouldn't it be nice if Jesus would just appear to us in a vision just one time to reassure us that what we believe in is not in vain? But that's the doubting Thomas in us talking. That's the sinful human in us that just can't comprehend the miracles of God. Resurrection? Well, that's the greatest miracle of all. A sinful person could never believe something like that on their own. That's why it takes another amazing miracle to bring that gift of faith, to firmly trust in such an amazing thing as a resurrection. That's why it takes another amazing miracle of God working that faith in our hearts. And we do believe. And we don't need to see it to believe it. All the proof that we need is written right there in our gospel lesson for today. All we need are the written words of Scripture. John tells us that the words of Scripture were written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. God has given us amazing gift after amazing gift. He's given us his only begotten Son who gave up his life for us and then took it up again so that we might be assured of our life one day. He's given us another amazing gift, his book, the Bible, so that we might read all about his Son and all of his miracles. And he's given us another amazing gift, the gift of his Holy Spirit, the only one who can make sinful people like us believe in such wonderful grace and promises. Through those things, he has given us life now with him and life forever with him in heaven, with our resurrected Savior. Amen.